Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And saints of God, I just want to take a quick time out to lift up our beloved Israel. Right now, they're under siege and under barrage of rocket fire from Hamas down in Gaza. And we've been there before. We know exactly where all the skirmish is coming from. I've been privileged and blessed. Yolanda and I, we've been to Israel many times. Oh, over 15 times we've been there. And we've been to a town called Gush Katif. And we saw the mortar shells that would end up in their backyards the time we went to visit them in 2005. And I'm just here to let you know that our hearts are heavy for them. The atrocities that have taken place, the barbaric acts of Hamas and what they did to the Israelis down there on the border. It's unthinkable. It's inhumane. It's diabolical. It comes from the devil himself. And so I'm hoping that those of you that have logged on with me, we would just lift them up in prayer right now. And pray with me that we would continue to bless and honor our beloved Israel. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up the land of Israel and all the inhabitants there, God. Lord, you place them there for such a time as this. Lord, we're reminded, God, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and it says, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And through all the families of the earth, Israel would be blessed. And so I pray, God, that you would bless and help and uplift all the bereaved families that have lost their loved ones tragically. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that you would watch over her in her times of war. And Lord, I pray for our country. I pray that you would watch over our churches and synagogues that support Israel. We know that many don't, but there are a remnant around our country that do. And so, Father, please help them, God, in their time of need. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints of God, for praying with me for the nation of Israel. They're dear to our hearts. And we know that we don't like to see war anywhere. But unfortunately, we're living in the times that Jesus said. He said in Matthew 24 that before his return, there would be wars and rumors of wars. And we're seeing another war taking place, another big war. I already have seen Russia that had invaded Ukraine. And now we're looking at this war here. And now they're firing rockets from the north, from Hezbollah, from Syria. Hamas has done their damage in the south. And so we pray for them that God will give them strategic wisdom and strategic military response, because we know that Israel will follow the rules, the Geneva Convention war rules. Those barbarians down below, they don't follow any rules. They're animals. And so continue to pray for her that God would help her in her time of need. Thank you so much. So with that, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace for our Bible study. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6. Let us prepare the screen, and we'll get into our study. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God in the flesh. So let's read our verses, and then we'll allow the Holy Spirit to have its way. And it reads, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Praise God. Verse 3. And every spirit that does not, did you catch this? And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Wow. Verses 4 through 6. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. That's a whole lot to chew on, and we're going to break down these first six verses, saints. So, let's go to verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, the test believers are to use is given in the next several verses we're going to read. You see, my friends, the responsibility for testing the spirits rests not merely on scholars or church leaders, but on every born-again Christian. Praise God. Listen, let me show you what the Old Testament prophets had prophesied regarding this Antichrist, these false prophets, these non-believers, what the prophets of old had testified. Let's go to Jeremiah. Look at this. In Jeremiah 14:14 through 16, look at this. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Wow, wow. Look at this in verse 15. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send. I need you to catch that. These were prophets that were not even spoken to by God or even sent by God. Look at this. Whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed. Wow. Look at this in verse 16. And the people to whom they prophesy should be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, nor their wives, their sons, their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. Wow. Wow. You see, my friends, that's why it says test every spirit. Let me just pause here for a moment. There have been prophets, true prophets of God, for instance, like Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and many others, who have already prophesied to our nation that if we don't turn from our wicked ways, that we will see violence, sexual immorality, murder, bloodshed. We would see abominable things in our land, and it's happening right now before us. My friends, take heed what I'm about to say. Is we need to keep our eyes focused on Israel because we parallel with them. And what's happening there is atrocious. We know that. But if we interfere one iota in trying to divide the land for peace, God will send remedial judgment to our land like he did in 2005. Oh, that's right. When Ariel Sharon and President Bush brokered a deal, it was called Land for Peace. They started to evacuate all the residences, all the people that God placed in a kibbutz called Gush Katif, right there on the Gaza border, and many other little towns and villages along the border. And they sent the Israeli government to extract them from their homes, kicking and screaming, and they were crying. We were watching this with horror. And guess what happened? Within a few hours after that atrocity was taking place in 2005, Hurricane Katrina formed. And then God unleashed it on Louisiana. We found out that week there was going to be over 100,000 homosexuals coming down to parade in that city. But here's the thing that's parallels. Is God said, do not divide the land. Do not touch the land. For Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye, and God watches over the entire nation of Israel. It was birthed in one day in 1948, and God has watched over her. And every time someone tries to meddle with the land to divide it, God sends remedial judgment. My friends, this is a serious matter that's taken place. And I pray that our administration don't try to broker a deal to give the Palestinians any more land, because land did not bring peace in 2005. As you can see, they gave them the area and they still hate Israel. It's not about land. It's not about geographical terms. They want to annihilate Israel off the face of the earth. That's how much hate they have toward our Hebrew friends, our Israeli friends, who God put there in the very beginning. And so when you start messing with God, God will have his final say. And so, my friends, we are to test the spirits. And there have been a lot of false prophets in our nation. Oh, it's going to be a real, it's going to be, you're going to prosper. Everything's going to get better. Everything. No. For some people, it seems like everything is falling apart. Which rightfully so, because of the culture and the heart of this nation where it's headed. But I like to say it best. It's falling into place. Because Jesus said, right before he returns in Matthew 24, he said it best. He said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be false prophets, false teachers. There'll be earthquakes in various places. There'll be tsunamis. There'll be so many atrocious things that are coming. And we're seeing it in real time. And so don't be fearful. For us believers, it's time to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to one another. Faithful to those who God has placed over your life to speak into your life. Be faithful to them. The teachers. Pastors like me and many wonderful other pastors. That will speak into your life. That will help you spiritually grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world has no answers, but we do. It's the power of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. Praise God. You see, saints, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit means that the believers should not believe everything they hear just because someone says it is a message from God. Test the Spirit. Test the Spirit. Know that they have a track record, a valid track record, and things that they speak comes to pass. And they should test the message to see if it was truly from the Lord, my friends. One way is to check to see if it matches God's word in the Bible. What I just shared with you of the atrocities that are happening is found in Matthew 24. Jesus even said that. The prophets even said that in that day that there would be wrath and tribulation. And we're seeing it. And so this is why we're not to be fearful. We're to be faithful to God, and God will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. God will take care of you. Don't worry. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of chaos, praise God. Because God is not the author of confusion. The enemy is trying to confuse you. But praise God, we got power over the serpent. Praise God, praise God. And other tests include the teacher's commitment to the body of believers and their lifestyles and the fruit of their ministries. Praise God. You see, saints, the most important test of all, however, is what they believe about Jesus Christ, about the Lord God Almighty. Do they teach that Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time? We do. Well, the first century world was filled with many false prophets who were claiming to speak for God. And the believers needed to apply these tests in order to discern truth from error. The term false prophets is just another name, saints of God, for many antichrists. Whereas a true prophet is one who receives direct revelation from God, which lines up with the Word of God. A false prophet only claims to have received direct revelation from God, but truly has not. It's from their own vain imagination. Everyone can think of a thought. But sometimes you got to keep your thoughts to yourself because they may not be of God to share with others. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, yes. You see, my friends, the test is similar to that administered to false prophets found throughout Deuteronomy. Oh, that's right. Look what how Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. We're going to take a glance here right now. Look at this. In Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, look at this. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, little g, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Look at this. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep what? His commandments and obey His voice, and you shall serve Him and hold fast to Him. Praise God. Look at verse 5. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Wow, that's a whole lot to chew on. But in the Old Testament, they didn't play around, saints. If you falsely prophesied over people, over a person, and it was to move them away from God or something that did not come to pass, they were considered a false prophet. And true punishment came to them. And there's so many false prophets today. It's not about punishing them. It's not about doing what the Old Testament did. It's about, you know what? Go to God's word and confirm it. If God's word does not confirm, just let it go one ear and out the other. Oh, that's right. That's right. Listen, I found another passage in Deuteronomy. Look at this. In Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 22. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. He shall hear according to all you desire of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word of my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall what? Die. Wow. Wow, look at this, verse 21 and 22. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you should not be afraid of him. Wow. Wow. There it is. There it is in a nutshell, saints. So use the word. Use God's principle. If someone says, thus saith the Lord thy God, and it doesn't come to pass, that's a false prophet. Don't ever go to that person again. Why? Because they're just speaking out of their own conscience. God never spoke to them. If it was in the Old Testament, they would be dealt harshly. But now we live in a spirit of grace. Just don't receive it no more. Turn off your phone. Don't even look at them on YouTube, wherever you're getting these false prophetic voices. Make sure you're under a good, sound teaching pastor that teaches the Word of God, and you will be able to discern for yourself whether things that are of the Lord or of the Antichrist. So let's move on. Let's move on to verse 2 of 1 John chapter 4. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, to know that a prophet has the Spirit of God, that is, if his message is truth from God, we must discover if he acknowledges that Jesus Christ became a human being. Oh, that's right. You see, a true teacher of God, saints, believes that Jesus of Nazareth was revealed in the Gospels, is the Messiah of God, God's only and unique incarnation of himself. Praise God. You see, a true teacher must also teach that Jesus became a man with a human body. Praise God. Praise God. I like to say it like this. God the Son is forever fully God and fully man through in an immortal state. He's immortal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Incorruptible and lives forever. When he died and rose again, God gave him that brand new body. And it's the first prototype. He lives forever. And we're going to have a body just like him. Praise God. How many are so excited about that? You should be, unless you want to stay in your body that's decaying, that's growing old, that the flesh will finally reach its destination, which is the dust in the ground. But our soul and spirit will live forever. And God's going to encase it with a brand new body. Praise God. You see, my friends, a teacher who denies Jesus' full and true humanity proves that he's not from God. And so we have to take heed. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's move on to verse 3 of 1 John chapter 4. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now already is in the world. That's right, my friends. that Antichrist is already in this world. You see, saints, the false prophets claim to speak by the Spirit's inspiration. In this context, saints of God, refusing to acknowledge Jesus means denying Jesus as true person, as both God and man. And those who do that are not from God. Therefore, there's only one other source, the Spirit operating in the false prophets, is the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of deception. You see, my friends, pronouncements about false teachers, false messiahs, and the coming of the Antichrist should not have been news to Christians. For they had heard that these people were coming already. And we should know that as well today, saints of God. Jesus had warned the disciples, the apostles, in turn, saints of God, had warned the believers about false teaching. Praise God, praise God. Look what I found here in Matthew 24. Look at this. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Who's the elect? You and I. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found. I found this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Look at this. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Let me just pause right there. Those are what's called the amillennialists. Meaning, it's only going to get better. There's no rapture. Everything that we read in the Bible has already come to pass. We're now in the millennium, and everything's going to get better. And then, as everything gets better, Jesus will come and rule and reign. That is heresy. That is false teaching and a false doctrine. Do not take heed to these preterists. It's called a preterist doctrine. Remember that term, preterists. They're all millennialists. That's not what we teach. We will never teach that. Why? Because God is going to pour out his wrath one day and annihilate all his enemies. But guess what? The good news is we won't be here. Jesus will remove his church, the beloved, the born-again believers, out of this world, and then the wrath of God will be poured out. Wow. Wow, my friends. Let's continue with this verse. Look at this. Verse 5. For this they fully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Look at this. In verse 6 and 7. By which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There it is. Take it up with the word of God. God's going to melt this whole entire world one day by fire, and he's going to renovate it, and it'll be brand new. Do you want to be here when he renovates and has to refine this world through fire? No, of course not. Well, if you keep on believing these false prophets, you go to a church that believes in all millennialism, the preterist point of view, you'll be lost with them. My friends, take heed. Take heed to the truth of the Word of God. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. And it refers to the hostile attitude of those that were denying that Christ had already been present. Praise God. John does not seem to have been saying that the final Antichrist had come. As Paul wrote in many of the epistles, in Thessalonians and throughout, that the man of lawlessness has not been revealed, but His Spirit is at work. Look what it says right here in God's Word in 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8. For the mystery of lawlessness is what? Already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until it is taken out of the way. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the church. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Wow. That hasn't happened yet, saints of God. So please, don't believe these false prophets of today that Revelation has already passed. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because none of these things that we're teaching right now has yet come to pass. And you don't want to be here, like I said earlier, when God pours out His wrath. The Bible's clear. You and I, the born-again church, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, waiting for His return. The Bible says we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation. So fear not. God will come and rescue us in due time. Let's move on. Here we go. To 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Praise God. Praise God. So saints, in contrast to those who are against God, John reassured his readers that they belong to God. You and I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And though these believers that he's referring to, which is us, may have been feeling weak and confused, and they had remained true to the faith, and so had already won their fight with these false prophets. And you and I have won this fight as well against these false teachers. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, my friends, John was saying that they had not been won over to the false point of view. Nor had they, saints of God, abandoned the church. Christians don't have to overpower false teachers to conquer them. Rather, they can overcome them. They can overcome the false teachers and their teachings by recognizing them and then refusing to follow them. You see, my friends, these believers had already done this, and they had not succumbed to the false teachers, and neither should you and I. Praise God. You see, they had been done this by the power of God's Spirit within them. You see, the Holy Ghost that lives within us will reveal God's Word is true, and God will confirm in your spirit what you're hearing right now, for your learning and understanding. Why? Because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Referring to the devil who inspires false prophets and their work of deception. Oh, that's right. Look what I found in the Word of God in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Wow. And we have seen this with our own eyes that's taken place today. And so, my friends, some Christians want to do this spiritual battle as individuals. They take the word, you as the Spirit who lives in me. You see, my friends, but the pronoun is plural, thus referring to the community of believers. All believers do not have personal assurance of the Holy Spirit's presence within them. It's individual and then corporately. But they must not attempt to do battle against Satan alone. Can I get an amen in the house? They need others for prayer, resources, intercession, guidance, protection, healing, and so much more. Praise God. Don't go to battle with that enemy by yourself. That's right. Get a hold of your elders, your deacons, your pastors, and pray for situations in your life that God will see you and deliver you and help you and bless you in the name of Jesus. Let's move on. to verse 5 of 1 John chapter 4. They are of the world, therefore they speak as the world, and the world, what? Hears them. We're talking about the false prophets here. That's right. You see, saints, these people are the false prophets who belong to this world and not to God. In John's gospel and letters, many letters by Paul the Apostle and many others, the term would describe, it describes the world system of beliefs and the community of those who stand in opposition to the Lord God Almighty. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, the false teachers, being a part of the world system, speak from the world's viewpoint and so find acceptance by the world that listens to them. You see, my friends, false teachers are popular with the world because, like the false prophets of the Old Testament, they tell people that they want what they want to hear, what they want to know. John warned them. He warned that the Christians would faithfully teach God's word and will not popularity being contestant with the world. We have nothing to prove to the world other than telling them that Jesus was crucified, was buried, was he rose again, and he came to give life and life more abundantly. And he's saying for 2,000 years, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. People need to see that there is a hope, a lively hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, people don't want to hear their sins denounced. They don't want to listen to demands that they change their behavior. A false teacher will be received by non-Christians and those who are playing church. All they want is to live a life of duplicity. They want their cake and eat it too. They want to come to church just to appease their consciousness, but they live like the devil at home. God help them. God knows who they are. And at the very end, God will separate the sheep from the goats. Let's move on to our last verse found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, the we primarily refers to the apostles who were the first true teachers of Christ, followed by many others who taught the truth of the gospel, trickle down to us 2,000 years later. Praise God. You see, the world gladly accepts and listens to the false teachers. But the apostles, they found another audience, those who would know God and who were open to knowing God. Oh, that's right. The world or those who do not belong to God rejected the apostles' message. This provides another way to determine who has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Oh, that's right. Look what and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter 14, verse 17, it reads, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be what? He'll be in you. Praise God. Praise. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Look what else it says here. It says right here in John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit who proceeds from God and teaches the truth about Christ. All who are indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit of truth and anointed by the Spirit can know the truth. God did not reserve that truth for only a special few. Oh, no, he didn't. The spirit of deception comes from Satan, the father of lies, and leads people into error. You see, look what it says in John 8:44. Jesus told the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the religious folks of the day, the scribes, all of them. He said, you are of your father the devil, and desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks, look at this. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. There it is. There it is in a nutshell. You see, believers can distinguish between these kind of spirits by the character and message of the one speaking. My friends, we are living in a day and a time that is so radical. When I was a child, I'm going to say 50 plus years ago, it was Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best. It was Lost in Space. You know, it was, you can ride your bikes till 9 o'clock at night. You can walk the streets. You didn't have to worry about getting mugged and getting raped and getting robbed. We live in a different world now. And everything's converging at the same time. All I know, saints of God, is that Jesus is soon to come. And I'm hoping those of you who are logged on will take heed. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the time to do so. This is the time to be ready. This is the time to get right or get left. It's not a political slogan that I'm saying. Right with God or get left behind. And I want to give you that opportunity. Those right now that are logged in, an opportunity to give your heart to the Lord by faith. Praise God, praise God. Saints, I need you to pray with me as I pray for those right now who are logged in and maybe never given their heart to the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. He said that in these last days, you will see all the signs, and we're seeing them right now in real time. Earthquakes in many places, wars, rumors of wars, tsunamis, false prophets, false teachers. And we're about ready to have a financial crash. And there have been prophetic visions and voices of terrorists that have come through our borders. And they're waiting for the jihad moment to come into the churches that stand for Israel and synagogues to do harm to them. And I heard that they want to do it in one day. Saints, this is the time. Hear me clearly. I coached football for many, many years when my son was growing up. And one of the things in football is to keep your head on a swivel. Not knowing where that block is coming, not knowing where that tackler is coming. Well, we are to be watchful in the times that we live in. We are to watch and pray and know that Jesus said these things would happen. And should some of these birth pains happen, which are many now, before he returns, we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We are to walk in faith and not in fear. But if you're viewing us for the first time and you want to know, you don't know what's happening, what's going on? All day long, the news about the war in Israel. Some of you have turned it off already. You don't want to hear it no more. I'm here to let you know you need to watch it, because something may come out of that that you and I may not like. And so, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would repent. Turn to God. Turn. Make an about face. Make an about face. Turn from your wicked ways to the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. And cry out and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Turn, turn, turn. That means turning to God and having a mind made up to change your behavior, change the way you're living, and turn to God. And then He will take it from that point on. He will pick you up and carry you the rest of the way. What will He do? He will wash you in the blood and cleanse you of your sin. And then He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit of promise and give you life eternally. If that's what you want, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me, and the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Somebody give God a shout of praise and glory. Somebody just got saved. Listen, if you have given your heart to God, look at down below is our website banner. Log on to our website, and there you'll be able to find our email and phone number. Call us. Tell us you gave your heart to Christ. We want to put a brand new Bible in your hand and point you to a church that'll teach and preach the unadulterated Word of God. And so, my friends, we are so mighty thankful for each and every one of you. We're so mighty thankful for what God has done in our life. Listen, we only got 2 more weeks at our location in Bonita. After that, we will let you know where we'll be. And so we're mighty thankful that God has given us 3 years there to preach the gospel, to watch souls get baptized in Jesus' name, to watch souls get filled with the Holy Spirit, to watch them transform and have their minds now looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you our benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. We love you, and we can't wait to see you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.